This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Bremerton Slasher and Anthony Montwheeler. Tales of hauntings, murder, and scary mysteries. Every week, Twisted Twos dives into a pair of uniquely terrifying true stories that are worthy of a more in-depth look. For this week, we focus on a killer that haunted Bremerton once upon a time, and the unusual story of Anthony Montwheeler. Get ready for Scary Mysteries, Twisted Twos. Number 1. Bremerton Slasher. In 2011, Bremerton, Washington was plagued by a series of random killings. The first victim was 19-year-old Sarah Burke. Sarah was walking by herself on a block on Warren Avenue when she was attacked on May 3, 2011. It was 9:30 p.m. when neighbors in the area heard what sounded like raised voices and an argument. Shortly after, Sarah's dead body was found. She had a stab wound on her neck. The following month, less than a mile from where Sarah was found dead, 51-year-old Kenny Cobb was walking down the street when he was clubbed in the back of the head. It was mid-afternoon when the attack happened. After he fell to the ground, he was stabbed and tried to get away, only to be stabbed several more times before a citizen came to help, at which point the random attacker ran away. Cobb survived the ordeal, but still doesn't like walking down the street when someone is close behind him. The third victim wasn't as lucky as Cobb, though. She was 62-year-old Melody Brannon, who was attacked just before she got to her home on High Avenue in February of 2012. She never made it inside as she was found dead in her yard between 5:30 and 6:30 p.m. Melody had moved to Bremerton in 2011, and while she had family in town, she lived alone. A police sketch released described a man with light skin, or possibly of mixed race, in his late teens to early 20s. He was described as 6 feet tall with some sort of distinctive blemish or mark around his mouth and nose. Right after the attacks, police beefed up patrol of the streets and even deployed officers to help investigate the matter, but for years, the case went cold. There are some people who believe the killings are all related, but authorities are also considering that the murders could be random. Then in 2013, a person of interest was highlighted, but detectives had no probable cause to arrest him at the time. Over the years, people have asked whether the cases are still active or if they've gone cold. The fact that Bremerton is such a small town and for it to have random killings in the span of a year rattled everybody. People in town, family, and friends are still hopeful that the cases will eventually be solved and the mystery of the Bremerton slasher uncovered, but as of right now, the person or persons still remain free. Number 2. Anthony Montwheeler. In 2016, Oregon officials decided Anthony Montwheeler should be released from the Oregon State Hospital. Anthony said he faked his mental state for over 20 years in order to avoid prison time. After he was released, Montwheeler went ahead and killed two people. He was arrested, and yet he still proclaimed not fit to stand trial and sent to the hospital once again. 10 years from when he was released, in 1996, Montwheeler was accused of kidnapping his ex-wife and their 3-year-old son. He threatened to kill them as well as himself. He was arrested for this, and while in jail, he tried to kill himself, telling everyone about the demons inside of him. During the trial, he pleaded not guilty due to reasons of insanity. There were differing opinions whether he met that criteria. One state psychiatrist said Montwheeler was depressed over his situation, but didn't have mental illness, so he was not qualified for the insanity defense. However, in the 2016 hearing, Montwheeler said his lawyer in the kidnapping case had a copy of the psychiatrist's diagnostic manual, and he used this to fake his insanity. In the past 19 years, Montwheeler had been in and out of the state hospital after committing various crimes like felony aggravated theft. After years of living life this way, he said he was done with it and told the review board he just made himself look crazy. Since the Psychiatric Security Review Board is required to release anyone who no longer medically qualifies for its jurisdiction, they freed him, even if there were psychiatrists who warned he was a danger to his immediate friends and relatives, as well as to the general public. Then in January of 2017, Montwheeler kidnapped his ex-wife, Anita, close to her home in Weiser, Idaho. He then drove 20 miles across the state border to Oregon. And he believed this was on purpose because he knew if he got caught again, he could pull the same stunt of pleading insane. Once the two reached a Sinclair gas station, he prepaid for $40 worth of diesel gas, got two bottles of water, and even told the clerk to have a good day. Outside, the gas attendant was waiting for Montwheeler so he could fill up his car when he noticed Harmon tied up in the cab asking for help. He ran back inside and told the clerk to then call the police. Montwheeler calmly filled his car with gas and prepared to leave. The attendant ran back outside and yelled that the cops were coming. That's when Montwheeler grabbed something from under the driver's seat, and then he stabbed Anita in her neck with a knife. Several customers tried to help Anita, but Montwheeler managed to fend them off. He then sped off and shortly after crashed into the vehicle of Jessica and David Bates. When police got to the scene, Anita was pronounced dead. In the vehicle that crashed against Montwheeler, David was instantly killed while Jessica survived with severe injuries. Montwheeler only had minor injuries in the collision. He was then taken into custody. Police searched his car and found zip ties, duct tape, rope, binoculars, and a black nylon scabbard. The bloody knife was also in there as well. Montwheeler's case remains controversial for his use of the insanity plea. Whether he can be held liable for lying in his initial insanity plea or not remains to be seen. His new trial is set for this July. So there were two of the scariest and most insane stories around. The world can be a crazy place, and Twisted Twos is always sure to show you why. If you like this video, then please remember to subscribe to our channel and consider supporting us on Patreon. We have new videos coming out every Wednesday and Saturday for you to check out. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you soon.